You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brewski.
Featuring former federal prosecutor and president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, Nima Rahmani.
There's supposed to be another Alec Murdaugh trial starting not too far down the road. It involves the case of the money that he pilfered from Gloria Satterfield and supposed to go to her children. Obviously, that did not take place. Not about murder, but it does involve the same judge that was at the murder trial, the same judge who we all know his opinion of Alec Murdaugh, the opinion most people have, but for all intents and purposes, was a very good and fair judge. But there's also the question of jury tampering that is lingering out there. There's the question of the opinions that, like I said, were expressed on national television about Alec Murdaugh. When you're talking about a judge here, you're talking about someone that you need to be fair and impartial. Judge Clifton Newman, great judge, but is it time for him to kind of say, I'm done with the Murdaugh circus, for at the very least, avoiding future appellate issues down the road?
You know, Tony, I agree with you. I mean, there's some issues that, frankly, Judge Newman probably didn't anticipate, but there's some unforced errors here and some mistakes that he made post-trial. So let's talk about them.
Yeah.
The first is the fraud case, right? You know, if you're presiding over Murdaugh's fraud case, you can't be commenting publicly on what you think of a defendant in a pending case. Now, I think there's two issues here. First, the reports that Judge Newman was going to retire by the end of the year. This was one of his last cases. So question is, was he actually going to really handle the Alex Murdaugh fraud trial? That's one. Second, let's not forget, Murdaugh pled to federal fraud charges. So the judge may have been thinking, well, he's not going to take the state case to trial, is he? Right? Because he's already pled to the same conduct in federal court. So that's that. Now, I think what Judge Newman couldn't predict and probably didn't predict is this whole Clerk Hill saga. Because normally, you know, someone's been convicted, the case goes up on appeal, it actually divests the trial court of jurisdiction. They can't do anything. So for folks that have been following this procedurally, what the appellate court had to do is actually dismiss the appeal, send the case down to the trial court to hold this evidentiary hearing to see what happened with the clerk and the juror and the potential jurors and all that. Well, by that point, it was too late. Judge Newman had already gone on Today and gone before his alma mater, made all these comments about the case, problematic comments, because now he has to preside over this evidentiary hearing. And the third issue is there's this sort of attorney witness rule, judge witness rule. If Ms. Hill was making comments to the judge and he has to testify at that hearing, they're really going to need another judge to preside over it. So it's a mess. And some of this, frankly, could have been avoided, but some of it was probably something that the judge wouldn't have been able to predict.
Yeah, I can see that, where this, so many things in this case, you can't really predict the way that they've all come about. What's your thoughts on where this is going? Obviously, there has not been an evidentiary hearing yet on all of these accusations. I know SLED has interviewed several of the jurors, and many of them saying, we have no recollection of Becky Hill saying this to us whatsoever, but they haven't talked to every single one of them. One would assume that Jim Griffin and Harpootalan would have thought or know that there's something to this. They can't just say this and make this accusation without anything. That would not be good in any way, shape, or form, and malpractice on their part. So where do you think they're coming from with these accusations? Is this something where there's a little bit of smoke and they said, let's make this sound bigger and worse than it actually is? Or do you think there's a juror out there, or two or three, that, you know, took that, the actions of Becky Hill, in that way of trying to influence the verdict itself?
You know, yeah, Tony, I always try to reconcile, you know, what happened with these declarations, but here just the parties are so far apart. You know, you have, let's just kind of go through it. You have one juror and then one former juror that have submitted a declaration saying that all these improper things happen. You have Hill, who has now submitted a declaration saying that none of this happened, denied it entirely. With respect to the remaining jurors, it appears at least most of them have gone on record, at least talking to law enforcement agents, siding with Ms. Hill, saying this didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But you have a few other jurors. You have two that have lawyered up, and I think they're working through some negotiation with their lawyer and law enforcement as to providing a declaration or an interview or not. And you have one juror who has refused to speak, period, probably wants nothing to do with it. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's telling the truth, but someone here is clearly lying, because I think it's very hard to reconcile, hey, none of this happened, versus these declarations that the defense has provided. So someone's clearly perjuring themselves.
It'll be very interesting to see where this all goes and who presides over what, because the saga of Murdaugh seems very far from over at this point.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.